Welcome to another episode of Masters of Comic Books. I am your host, Cole Daniel, and I'm continuing the wonderful Gauntlet story arc that took place in the Amazing Spider-Man comics. And I have my wonderful, wonderful guest with me today, Lee Reed.
Hello. Good to be back. How are you doing, man?
Doing great. I loved your jazz hands. No one can see it, but I can.
Oh, yeah. For the benefit of those with video.
Yeah. It'll be like an extra that we send out to people. Anyways, how are you doing, man? I haven't seen you in, talked to you in a couple of weeks. I've been busy. We've all been busy.
Yeah. I'm good. I've been, living life, reading Spider-Man comics. What else is there to do? But yeah, I'm eager to jump into this one. I've been really looking forward to talking about this one with you.
Yeah, I would say out of the whole Gauntlet stuff, this might be the most memorable out of the whole thing. A moment in this arc is mentioned by a lot of readers, and I've only read this actually once before, because when I was reading comics back then, I used to get them through my library, and I could never get this trade through it, and I was a cheapskate back then, and so kind of am. Anyways,
yeah, it's the best way to be. We've got a lot of comics to get.
That's very true.
We've got to save money where we can.
Yeah. But the Shed arc, from what I remember, I always feel like it's one of the most memorable ones out of the whole Gauntlet arc. I don't know if it might be because it's near the end or you have like well-known artists or writers.
Yeah, I think it stands out. Shed stands out because it, like you said, the art, and it's probably the most adult themed, I guess, Spider-Man comic that I've read in a long time.
Well, yeah, Zeb Wells does not hold anything back. Well, speaking of that, so the writer for this four-part arc is Zeb Wells. Art is by Chris Pachalo, and then Emma Rios does like some additional pages here and there when it's not scenes including Lizard or Lizard and Spider. I guess mostly just Lizard. But then there's tons of inkers that come in, and that's usually the par for the course for Chris Pachalo. If you ever see any of the comics that he does, I always notice, because he always has Tim Townsend that does some of the inks, but he always has like, it all, like the more issues he does, like the progressive of list of inkers it becomes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's definitely
a recognizable style as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of Chris Pachalo. His style is very distinct, so I understand why some readers wouldn't gravitate towards his style. And there are some flaws to some of his art style. So, like, for example, like I remember like reading, Jason Aaron's Doctor Strange, and it looks really cool. Like, I love that run. I think Pachalo does great work on it. But there are times like, his artwork has like too much in a panel with like the close-ups and everything, and so it's hard to tell, and it's hard to tell what to focus on and everything, and especially if you have wordy writers like Jason Aaron can sometimes be kind of wordy, and like there could be a lot of dialogue on the page or even like captions and everything. It sort of takes away from the panel or from the art, and it just looks like one giant mess. But I think with here, especially with Wells has never been a very wordy writer. Like he's always very succinct and just gets to the point and goes with it. And so like this arc features
as well, like I think the art, like you say, like Pachalo's art, I think personally I don't hate his art, but I'm equally not a massive fan. I'm just kind of somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
There's some books that I just don't like it on at all. But then I think actually now you've mentioned that it might just be that it's a combination of a lot of detail, because he does get a lot of detail in his drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Along with like if you've got a lot of text panels or, you know, voices going on there, it's a bit too much sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think the detail that he does get in, it makes it pop out a little bit more. But I think as well what helps, especially like you said, with that Doctor Strange run, his art style lends itself to kind of like quirky, weird kind of stories. So there's always something going on. Like I think like if you had someone that was drawing maybe a bit more realistic style this story wouldn't work or have the impact that it does, I think.
No, I think that's why the...
some of the things are like quite exaggerated, and that's what makes it stand out.
Yeah, I think that's why Shed might be one of the most memorable ones from the Gauntlet arc. Is I think Pachalo does really leave a mark with the art, especially with the new design of how Lizard looks, because he doesn't look just like just an adult lizard, you know, an adult man lizard. Like he looks actually very monstrous and everything, which I kind of dig the art style. He almost like a very like a miniature Godzilla.
I was just about to say that, baby Godzilla. It's like completely like what we'll get into in the story, but it's like if the lizard's animalistic side took over, this is exactly what he would look like.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Before we get really far into it, Zeb Wells does an interesting thing of kind of introducing lizards, not the actual villain, but like the actual beings themselves, like their different quirks and their characteristics and what their basic instincts are. And he introduces those slowly with how Connors is reacting, like with how Connors is doing a lot of his lab work with the lizards he's doing at, I think it's called like Felcor. Yeah, Felcor Industries.
Yeah.
He, then Connors, like once, for example, like there's a part in this comic where Connors is trying to have like lizards mate with each other or something, or they get like very territorial with someone else. And then Connor's boss comes in to the lab invading Connor's quote unquote territory. And then Connor starts getting very aggressive and stuff. So I just love those little parallels that Zeb Wells did here. I thought he did a really solid job kind of giving a nice little lesson on lizards while also delivering a Spider-Man comic.
Every day is a school day.
It is. So,
but yeah, shall we dive into this one?
Let's go ahead. So before we get into the actual arc, Shed had a prologue that was at the very cut end of the Something Can Stop the Juggernaut story arc. And it's nothing too big or anything. It's kind of just introducing Connors again, kind of getting readers prepped for what's to come for the next big villain story arc in this Gauntlet event. Yeah. And just kind of showing what Kirk Connors is doing at Felcor Labs, his role in the whole situation. He has an assistant named Marissa. What else? And that's about it. And his boss is an asshole.
Yeah. Pretty much.
I mean, his boss is just trying to get him, like, he's paying money. Kurt is taking a while, and his boss is named King and stuff. And so during
King.
Yeah, so during this, these backups, it builds up the plot point that Connors is never happy when King comes into the situation. Whenever he comes into enters his lab, the lizard just kind of slowly creeps in and everything. And so it's just the backup is a really great way to kind of just set up the tone for what's to come in this surprisingly extremely dark story arc.
Storyline. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So our first issue is Amazing Spider-Man number 630. Like you've already mentioned, all the creators that are on there. And we open up with the Black Cat and Spider-Man basically stopping like a bank heist, basically. And Black, it essentially boils down to, you know, Black Cat and Spidey stop the runaway truck, and then Spidey's trying to sort of get out of Black Cat what their situation is. It's like, in bracket, having fun. Is that what we're doing? Are we having fun, or are we a couple? And then Black Cat, you know, she's just quite nonchalant about it. She's just like, we both know like what this is. You're cute, Spider, but this is big boy talk. We're not a couple. So then, but then as we see later on, it's kind of like, is because this is happening, is that why he's not taking a step forward with Carly Cooper?
Yeah, it's because as Spider-Man, he's in a quote-unquote relationship with Black Cat, but he is, in his true heart, he has feelings for Carly Cooper.
Yeah.
And so he just can't bring himself to tell Black Cat and get used big boy words. But
yeah.
Felicia gets what their whole relationship is. She even says, like, if something better comes along, don't let us get in your way. And yeah, so exactly. She kind of she gives him her blessing.
Yeah. From there, we go to, it's basically Kurt Connors at, it's basically, I can't think of what you call it now.
It's kind of like a, so, because his son, Billy, that's his
Billy.
Name.
Yeah.
So Billy, he's kind of in a foster home now due to Connors being his lizard, so almost like Jekyll and Hyde sort of persona.
Yeah, he's been taken off him, hasn't he?
Yeah, so Billy, he's in a foster home now, and so, like, father and Connors is trying to kind of gain custody of him again and kind of prove that I'm not the monster anymore. I want to be a father and everything. And so it's kind of like a supervised meeting of sorts from what it looks like.
I love Billy's
playing
that.
His DS. I just realized.
Yeah, his Nintendo DS. I love that. But then he's you know, he mentions a couple of things. He's like, I'm trying to do the right thing. It's like, the lizard is gone, Billy. And then the supervisor is basically taking notes the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's just like, you're using manipulative language. This visit is over. And then obviously he's just trying to keep his cool the whole time. And Billy's just like, whatever. Like, whatever, let me just play my game kind of thing. Which is what I guess a kid of his age would do, really. He's just kind of
Oh, cool. He's left-handed, too, just like me.
Just like me.
Oh, you're left-handed, too?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know many people that are left-handed.
Hopefully we don't end up like Billy.
I hope not.
I hope not, too. So after that little scene, we get Peter's on the phone. It looks like it might be an iPhone. Who knows? I'm trying to work out all the technology here.
Oh, no, that looks like an Android. How can he afford that?
That's an Android.
Or one of those, like, prepaid phones that are touchscreen and make you seem fancy, but they're not.
He is phoning Aunt May. And obviously, as we have discovered in our other episodes, Aunt May has been affected by Mr. Negative's kind of aura. So she's got a bit of an attitude on her at the moment.
Auntie May is...
Auntie May,
yeah, she is not here to.
She's not a pleasant lady to be around anymore.
No, she does not want to listen to Peter's baggage.
She's quite rude. She's abrupt. She's all the things that you love about Aunt May. She's the opposite of. So she just has no time for Peter. It's like, so he calls her up, just kind of like, "I've got girl problems," and then like she has workmen round her house, and she's telling them to put the tools down. It's like, my nephew's been badly hurt. No, not physically, just his feelings. No, not my niece, my nephew.
Yes,
yeah, like, you big girl.
Yeah, she is just embarrassing Peter, basically talking shit in front of him.
It's like, oh man. And then so basically he ends up hanging up on her, or she hangs up on him, sorry. And then in comes Harry Osborn, who basically overheard his conversation, basically steals his phone and just texts Carly Cooper, let's go on a date. Seeing as he's not going to do it himself because he's too hung up on whatever their situation is. Is it Black Cat that's stopping him, or is it just Peter being Peter? So Harry kind of does the job for him. He's like, oh, let's go for lunch. So we'll see how that progresses later on. And then we cut to Felcorp Industries. So this is our first shot of Kurt Connors at work. And we see his little lab assistant. And I thought this bit was quite funny. So she's got one of these lizards that I'm guessing they're doing tests on, I guess.
Yeah.
So she's got a lizard on her shoulder. And she's like, oh, I never knew lizards could be so affectionate. And then just straight out, just cuts her right down. They can't. He's attracted to your body heat.
Yeah.
Like, that's just savage.
Oh, yeah. Kurt Connors, he knows how to be flirtatious, right? I mean, he's smooth with the ladies.
Ladies, man.
But what's really cool is that this scene, this is like one of the first examples that we were talking about earlier about how Zeb Wells is kind of introducing all these different basic instincts of lizards. Like, for example, of them seeking body heat. They don't relatively go out. They don't feel love. They're just seeking body heat. And I mean, that's how Connors is even kind of approaching Marissa a little bit in a very kind of creepy way. But you can, I really love, like, throughout the scenes where it's just Kirk Connors, that these very tiny caption boxes of the lizard speaking, as like in Connor's mind, you could tell it's trying
to take over.
Exactly, just that. Yeah. And I kind of like that, those, that little subtle hints. And then when King comes in, Brian King ends up interrupting Kirk Connors trying to gain body heat, I guess. Kirk gets very aggressive towards King. Like, he says, like, "What are you doing here?" Man, yeah. I don't really pull out like Batman when I say that every time I do that. But he...
Who's Rachel?
But what King is practically doing is invading Kirk Connors' lizard territory, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just really love these parallels that Zeb Wells is doing. And another one is, like, the introducing of body heat and stuff. Like, lizards don't have love, but they have, like, what's the right word? Almost see their, like, I guess, sort of like significant other or somebody that they would mate with, sort of like their property of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, possessive. Like, and so what King does, he comes in, invades Kirk Connors' territory, and then he ends up taking Marissa for a date. So Kurt doesn't necessarily like that.
Not happy. No. I think as well, what I liked here was, normally you would see Kirk Connors quite reserved, you know, he's just busy in his work, where here you can tell something is up straight away because he's like so in King's face, like, what, like you said, like, what are you doing here? That's quite unlike him normally, but that just goes to show that you can see, like, these little inner monologues that we're getting from the lizard. It's just a few little short words. It's like, give King red neck, which obviously just like slit his throat, which instantly already is kind of like, when you read into that, that's for a Spider-Man comic, that's quite like, normally you don't get those. Yeah. I mean, obviously you do get it, but it's straight off the bat. It's like, he's on the edge. He's kind of unhinged already.
Yeah.
And that's just how you can see the lizard kind of slowly creeping in a bit more. This next page is a full page spread, and it is absolutely beautiful. So it's so cool. Madame Web. I mean, she looks absolutely haggard here, but then that's because she's been tortured, basically. But we are seeing different bits of the web of, like, what's going to happen. Absolutely brilliant shot there. The next page, we see exactly what is going on. So it's Madame Web in a wheelchair, and she's being held by the Krivenoff family. So we finally get a little bit more of, we've seen a little, maybe one panel at a time, mm-hmm. of the Krivenoff family kind of pulling the strings. But now we kind of see where this is going.
In this part, actually, this might be the most on-screen time that we've ever seen the Krivenoffs actually influencing the villains and stuff, and using Madame Web's visions as a way to turn the
tide to their favor. Yeah,
well, yeah, totally. Because, like, every other time, like, for example, I mean, they freed Vulture, they used Electro to free Vulture, and then, or like, Chameleon came to Mysterio and said, hey, we're doing this. Or
I feel like it's been very loosely tied. Like, if you weren't really paying attention, like we've been doing with this, you could very easily skip that over and then just kind of be like, huh.
Yeah,
what's going on here? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not very heavily implied that that's what they're doing, that they're mm-hmm. pulling the strings behind the scenes. Like, and really, we still don't know.
That's true.
What their motivation is. I mean, we can kind of guess, but
I mean, maybe it's because we're getting towards the end. They're finally showing up, but it's almost like not too little, too late. But it's just sort of, like, I wish I would have seen
given us a little bit more, like,
throughout, at least incorporated it more, because everything else was, like, for example, like, with the newer Rhino, it was just, like, subtle phone calls, or Mysterio had nothing, they didn't do anything with Mysterio until Chameleon came and grabbed him. Same with Electro. They didn't do anything till they came and grabbed Electro, and they freed Vulture and stuff, and Scorpion had nothing. They wanted the suit and whatnot, but like,
it's almost like they kind of realized, like, oh, after this one, we're done. Like, we need to start bringing them in, wrapping this storyline up.
Yeah,
which is a shame, because it could have been, like you say, like, this is the all of these issues leading up to Grim Hunt, which is the climax, is it's quite a big chunk of issues. So it's not like they've not had much time to build up to it. Mm-hmm. Just, for whatever reason, they haven't.
Hell, I wouldn't have mind even like some like backups or something too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Just a couple of pages every mm-hmm. other issue.
Yeah.
Just see what's going
but, on. But, I mean...
what are you going to do?
That's true. But, like, here, I think it's incorporated extremely well.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because Madam Web sees...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What could possibly happen. Like, cries, like she says, cries of the sun will tame the beast. And then Sasha, who's the Kravenoff, who's behind the wheelchair, does not like the sound of that and thinks it's too happy of an ending for Spider-Man. And she sends Anna off to nudge the, well, just to make things worse.
Yeah, nudge the web of destiny in their favor.
Yeah,
yeah. So after that one, we get a bit of a lighter scene. So we get Peter has brought Anna some Carly, sorry, some Shake Shack for lunch, and he's like, I'm totally gonna call this a date, and she's like, it's not a date, just to make up for obviously canceling on her before.
Hey, she's quite nice. He waited in line for an hour during lunch rush. That, he would tell he likes this woman.
Oh yeah. What wouldn't you do? I'd stand in line for an hour for you, baby.
Yeah. Just so I could get food.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be cold by the time he's got there as well. That's the worst thing.
Yeah. Hey, unless he swings over.
So, yeah, that's true. That's true. From there, we go back to, it's the following day, so it's Felcorp Industries again, this time at 7:51 a.m. Very precise. I like that. And basically, Connors is sniffing Marissa very creepily, and he can smell that she spent the night with Brian King. And as he even says, sleeping with Brian King was a very, very bad idea. And then she's like, Dr. Connors, that's not an appropriate subject. And then you can, from here, the inner monologue boxes that we're getting of the lizard are slowly getting bigger mm-hmm. and bigger. So you can see that, you know, his influence is taking over. And then he rushes into, I'm guessing it's just his private office. And Mr. King comes in, which is probably the worst timing for him ever.
Well, like, Connors is already like almost, he's growling at this point, or he's gets to the point where he like starts growling as soon as King invades his office.
Yeah, it's not good. And then he goes
subtle red eyes too.
He goes to grab some of the lizard serum, but then they just start fighting for no reason. Like, I don't really know what. Well, so, Connors just slumped. King grabs his tie.
Well, because King is an idiot, and so he thinks that Connors is grabbing the serum to become the lizard when he's actually grabbing the serum to prevent the
control
serum.
Control it.
Why would I, like, I want to be a monster.
Yeah. And then basically, because King stops him getting to the serum, he just lets the beast free, basically. So we go straight to the lizard, and then we get a full page spread again of this transformation, but it's split into four vertical panels.
It's so cool,
and it doesn't really need to say what happens, because you can kind of tell his mouth's open, he's got big fangs. The next panel, there's just a lot of red.
Oh my god!
So he made him see red.
Yeah.
If he wasn't hungry, he isn't anymore.
Well, and then that next page, that double page splash is insane.
Oof, yeah.
Like the lizard
Just.
has horns and stuff, and he has like, I'm assuming King's like just shirt and body just like dripping from his mouth. It is nuts.
Yeah, it's just his insides, isn't it? It's absolutely gruesome. It's such a great shot as well, though.
Well detailed, as we were mentioning before, like it's so much dimension with the shadows, and it is just so, it's a great, it's so cool.
It's pretty scary as well.
Oh,
I
frightening.
mean,
Perfect for the Halloween season.
absolutely. What do I want to be this year? I want to be the
The
lizard.
next issue is to 631, and this time we have art by Emma Rios, who does the first 8 pages, then Chris Pachalo ends up finishing the rest of the issue. I kind of like that they brought in another artist so Chris Pachalo can focus on the lizard scenes, because that's where I think he was the strongest throughout this entire arc. Because during like the sort of like the coffee bean scene or, and the Aunt May scene or the Carly Cooper scene, I mean, those were fine, perfectly fine. But like where Chris Pachalo does wonders with this arc is when he's with the lizard. So Emma Rios, she does the opening pages, and we have Kane. Kane just showed up, just out of nowhere.
One of my favorite clones.
He
Yeah.
didn't. There was no
We've
introduction.
not seen
That's.
him in any of these issues previous to this either, so it's kind of just here he is.
Yeah, like if anyone was reading
And
Brand New
then
Day during this, he kind of just showed up. It was not even an introduction. I mean, the introduction is, "My name is King." That's his first line. That's
My
all
name
you
is
need to
Kane.
know.
I never run from anything. I'm like, if you never run from anything, where have you been?
Exactly.
You would be in on the action. But yeah, I'm glad to see him back. He definitely see this to me, this isn't the Kane I remember from the Clone Saga because he isn't scarred.
Kind of, he looks pretty good for someone that has very long hair and like a nice little
Yeah.
scruff going on.
Yeah. He
Kind of,
doesn't look grimy like he kind of remember Kane being.
yeah, he kind of just seems like a fella who just doesn't shave.
Yeah. He just kind of rocks up. So obviously part of Kane's power is that he gets premonitions. It's like an enhanced spider sense. So during the Clone Saga, he kept having premonitions about Mary Jane dying at the hands of someone, which actually ended up being himself. obviously he didn't kill her,
Oh shit,
but that's what
it's
those
me.
premonitions were. Yeah, it was me. And he's been getting premonitions about apparently the words say, but this girl standing in the place I call my home atop the murdered bodies of my fellow transients. And then he just repeats again, "My name is Kane. I never run from anything. Tonight I make an exception." And then but it's Anna Kravenoff that he's referring to. I always get the female Kravenoffs mixed up, just name wise. Obviously they look very different, but I always forget their names. I got it right this time.
Very nice. I'm bad. Hey, I don't, I'm not gonna fault you. I'm bad with names all the time. I can never remember a name of any characters I read about. So don't worry.
And then they start fighting, and then basically I think it's from Anna. It doesn't quite. Oh yeah, it is. Yeah. So she basically blows a dart into
Like
Kane.
a, just like a poisonous dart.
Yeah, a poisonous dart, which was pretty cool. And then any pro wrestling fans will love the next two panels. Basically, from this raised position that they're on, Anna basically does a hurricanrana on Kane,
Oh
just
my
basically like
God,
a
yeah,
head
she
scissors.
does. Like
Head scissors flip.
from like two or three stories.
Yeah, it'll be fine. He's come back from worse. And then she starts to cut his face open. And she's like, "Shh, it doesn't hurt that bad. See?" Little does she forget. I mean, the coolest part of Kane in the Clone Saga was that he could just give people the mark of Kane, which essentially was just like we said, he's got his enhanced spider sense, which gives him these visions. This is an enhanced version of the sort of stickiness that you can stick to things. He just basically uses it to stick to people's faces and just burn them, basically. So he's burnt a bit of Anna's earlobe off by the looks of it there.
Looks a little grody.
And for someone who said, I never run from anything, he got up and ran.
Hey, he said this time he was making an exception.
Yeah, well, he needs to. He needs to.
He's got to go regroup. Warm Peter.
Yeah, he needs to. But then, who is this guy?
This is Peter.
Her brother?
Oh, well, the other guy. Sorry, I was already in the next scene. Yeah,
It's another Kravenoff.
His name is, I think, like, Alyosha or something like that, or Alyosha or something. It's his brother. It's her brother. And
yeah.
He tells her to don't go after Kane. We have to do the lizard stuff first.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Just like how we're reading this.
Yeah, we have to do the lizard stuff first, and then we'll do the Grim Hunt.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we're at Blue Hills Restaurant, where Peter is waiting for his lovely date, Carly Cooper. And lo and behold, she stands him up. See that
pill to swallow, huh?
Oh yeah, the boots on the other foot. From what it seems like, he was like, "Ooh, so this is how it feels."
Damn.
So the reason Carly is not at the restaurant is she was at a crime scene at Felcourt, which actually was what. The lizard caused chaos, a bloody mess. And so Carly had to go and be the...
Do her job, basically.
Yeah, do her job. Which, that's what Spider-Man does. So it's kind of nice, a little role reversal there. And so this, I kind of like... I really like Carly Cooper and how she can... And her role in these stories and how she's the one that works the crime scene. So it's a cool way to kind of... do sort of like a dynamic duo of some sorts, and you can have Carly and Spider-Man kind of partner.
Gives me like kind of like a Batman vibe,
just a kind of like a Jim Gordon Batman sort of deal.
Yeah,
except this time Carly Cooper and Spider-Man are going to be dating.
it gives like Spidey another reason to keep in touch with her as well, because if it was just like a normal, you know, the work in the coffee shop or the work at the Bugle, he would just see them in his like Peter Parker life,
yeah,
where he's seeing her as Peter Parker, but then obviously she doesn't know that, but he's seeing her again at the scene of the crime, so he gets that kind of extra little bit out of her. So
it gives him a nice connection that I actually really like, and I think it's one of the reasons why I also really like Carly Cooper too.
Yeah, it definitely works. It really does work. And this place is an absolute mess. So we can see there's body bags being hauled. There's blood everywhere. And then Spidey turns up and it's like, what happened here? Basically, Connors, he did this, didn't he? And she was like, we don't know. We don't know who did it. And it's like, well,
I'm not going to say he didn't do it.
Yeah. And then basically through their conversation, Spidey remembers about Billy. Which is obviously is Kurt's son. It's like, Carly, Billy Connors is not safe. The lizard is obsessed with him. And she's like, he's in foster care. I need an address. I'll have to make a call. Make it now. Obviously, Mr. Lizard is already on his way there.
Oh yeah, because if you look at the double page from before, apparently he just jumped right out the window.
Yeah.
From
turned into like the Hulk and just did it in one jump.
Oh yeah. Just straight to Billy's foster home.
I also love that we get sort of in between the panels, we get all the little mini lizards that were in the lab, also following Kurt here. So we've got Big Lizard, Baby Godzilla, and then all the little tiny lizards that were in the lab, but they also have like the red eye kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's the same red eyes that we saw in Kurt before he transformed. So you know they're also possessed.
Yeah, it's kind of cool showing like he's able to communicate and everything, kind of foreshadowing what the lizard's sort of big plan in the end is going to be, if that makes sense. But what's really cool is, so like once we kind of get to Billy's foster care or foster home and everything, we're at the perspective of the lizard real quick before Spider-Man confronts him. And so the roles have been reversed now to where the lizard's captions are big and more in control, while Connor's, he's still subtly there. Like for example, because like once Spider-Man gets there, Connor's through the little like narration caption boxes, he has sort of like he feels relief that Spider-Man has arrived, and it's
I know
really
you'll protect my son.
exactly that.
That's it.
And it turns into like just a giant brutal fight between him and the lizard in this whole scene, which it is depicted so well. I am such a sucker for B'Challa's art, man.
And then basically from here, the fight is on and it looks so good. I mean, you've got even just the lizard's teeth just look like something that you don't want to get stuck behind or anywhere near. And he's just completely feral here. Like, there's no kind of, I mean, I know he's got his lab coat on, but other than that, there's no sort of trace of Kurt Connors in there at all when he's fighting. It's just all
It's
over the
just,
place.
yeah, it's just subtle, but like, I love how Wells has done a solid job in like subtly progressing the lizard's control throughout this arc until to like really build up to why he ends up taking control fully of the whole possession and stuff. But this,
It's been built up right all the way, hasn't it?
yeah. So this little fight between Spider-Man and Lizard is quite a while. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 5 or 6 pages. And by the time it kind of ends, Peter Lizard throws Peter into like the front door of the foster home. And when he's thrown to the near the front door, Peter sees that the door is already open, that someone already broke in. And so Spider-Man knows that something terrible has happened. And little do we know, apparently the lizard can sense Billy. He like through his like tongue and stuff. I don't know. Lizard's a weird man. So lizard goes to pursue Billy. While Spider-Man doesn't know that, he knows that the lizard is leaving though. So he puts a spider tracer on him real quick. And so lizard leaves, and Spider-Man decides to run into the foster home to grab Billy
Save whoever's left that he can
and
save,
see what
basically.
happened. And he heads into the trashed house to find a woman that looks to, I mean, the house is wrecked, first of all. It is a mess, but he comes in and sees Billy's foster mother, but she's the only one there. There's no one left from what it looks like, at least. At least I hope the other children are okay. But Billy isn't there, and Billy's foster mother says that he was taken by a young woman, and Spider-Man has no idea who this is. He still has no idea that any of the Kravenoffs are doing this, which I actually kind of like that he doesn't know who the puppet master is through all that. It's kind of cool. But Anna is the one that took Billy away from the foster home and left him alone for the lizard to kind of do the bad thing.
But what I think is quite funny here is she's got him just propped up. She's holding a knife, which is already covered in blood from obviously the people that she's beaten up beforehand. Billy's hands are tied together, and then we can sort of see the noise of the lizard coming, and then she just goes, "Oh, good, he caught your scent." She then cuts him free and bolts, like she's gone. She's like, "Yeah, I'm not sticking around." So, it's like, yeah, you can have your hands back, but it's not going to do a lot. And then this is the bit that really got me. So you can see, like we mentioned, the inner monologue of Kurt, it was just slowly fading away. And then all we get is no. I'll die before I let you do it, because the lizard basically is trying to eat, kill Billy,
Well,
and
yeah.
make it, basically it's his only, once Billy is gone, there's no strand of humanity left inside him. So then Kurt would just give up, and then the lizard brain would take over, basically.
Yeah, because it's that basic lizard instincts, because like once the lizard has taken over that the like I guess host's property, and then it just It just, yeah, that's what happens. It takes over who the host is, or like who that, I don't know, quote unquote, man of the house is, and they
Yeah.
lose control and they lose their territory. To so Connors basically loses his proper right to be a human anymore.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Just give up the fight, basically, won't he? Because he's got nothing left to fight for. And then we see kind of it's yeah, this is the moment, I think. And then we the next page, basically, even Kurt's inner monologues, the boxes are just broken. Like if you toss some pieces of paper up, it's just like that. And it's just no. And then
Like Mario
we kind
after
of
he
it
just died.
flips to how we saw Madame Web earlier. So it's her inner monologue here. So this is Madame Web. It is as the seer foresaw, Kurt Connors is dead. And then we see Anna and her brother back on this rooftop. And it's the lizard is made whole, Anna. We must go. He's not finished. Just a few more moments. So they're just casually watching him chomp.
Freaking gross.
Yeah. And she's getting, like, Anna is getting great pleasure out of watching this.
Yeah, kind of
Absolutely sick.
just capitalizes on the twisted nature of the Kravenoffs and everything.
Yeah, she's even like, I did good, didn't I? Just a few more moments. And even her brother's just like, oh, a few more moments. Okay. Like, even he's just like, right, it's done. Like, let's go. And she's like, no. It's like a kid, you know, like when you want to take a kid away from a shop, it's like, come on. Come on, it's time to go home. But no, I still want to stay. But yeah, that is basically what we have seen is the lizard has killed his son, which is absolutely messed up.
Which I think is why this arc is so memorable, because of that exact moment that Connor's or the lizard ate Connor's son.
Yeah, it's just absolutely, I mean, it's effed up, completely effed up.
Oh, extremely.
And I think I remember the first time I read this, I think because I didn't think that you don't actually see him eat him. He just kind of opens his mouth and goes, rah, and then you don't see any chomping or anything like that. I was just like, oh, he just shouted at him. Like, and then, you know, he wouldn't hurt him
Well, they
too
wouldn't do
much.
that for a Spider-Man comic, and
Yeah,
it
and this
got
is it.
pretty
This is
brutal.
exactly, yeah. This is kind of why I said, like, it's quite an adult Spider-Man story. Like, we've got a lot of death. We've got a lot of, lizards being horny at the start. Yeah, it's just quite, and it's just dark, isn't it? Like, and then there's a lot of themes of, like you say, like there's foster care, there's all that kind of element as well, which is quite an adult theme. It's just, yeah, it's messed up. It's absolutely messed up. And the coloring here as well is quite good because the blood isn't red, so then it doesn't make it seem as bad. The blood is just, well, it's black on Spider-Man's costume rather than it being red on red in the next couple of pages.
Well, the next couple of pages, that's the next issue, actually.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah. So the next issue is 632, which opens up in just right after Billy was eating, RIP. And so Spider-Man arrives in the alleyway and he's crouching over the Billy's body, unfortunately. I really like how
Yeah.
the word shed is kind of like the shadow around Spidey.
Yeah.
That's I love it. I'm a sucker for title pages like that. Like whenever the title of that comic is incorporated into the art, I love stuff like that. But anyways, so Spider-Man is crouching over Billy's body and he is just beating himself up about it. But while he's traumatized by what he just saw of Billy, he also notices that a spider tracer is nearby and he sees
Yeah.
the lizard's skin And so he just goes and starts beating on the lizard, and he's yelling like, "Billy's dead. You killed your son." And as soon as he pulls all like the garbage that's like surrounding sort of like the lizard's skin and everything, he sees that's all he sees is just the lizard's skin. And at first Spider-Man thinks like, "Oh dear God, I failed Kurt. Like the lizard is now dead." But little did he know, the lizard actually shedded his skin, and now he's like a brand new lizard, which is actually cool because it stayed on the theme of the Gauntlet's event of like giving these upgrades to these villains. And so the lizard has this new upgrade too, is where he's in full control now. And so now number one, he's much bigger. He has like pricklier. He has feathers on his neck. Yeah. Like he has more authority and much more intelligence. If you just look at his eyes, it's not just big and chaotic and with like psychotic tendencies anymore. Like he's in control. And he can actually speak somewhat well instead of just saying like big proper words next together. Like he can actually have, he speaks. There's no Connors at all. And so since the lizard ate Billy, he has shed Connor. He has no more babbling.
If he was a
brain
Pokemon
anymore.
he leveled up to like level 50 and then evolved.
Yeah, he evolved. That's exactly what
happened. This is his final form. Yeah, it's just absolutely messed up. So rather than going straight into punches, they actually have a conversation, which is kind of what you were saying there. So Lizard can hold a conversation rather than just flinging into a rage, which normally would be Spider-Man and then just throw something at him. Like here it's just
Spider-Man.
Like,
that's
yeah,
how it
Spider-Man. And then, but here we just, you know, Lizard take monkey brain. Lizard no longer dumb. You are prey. Which is just, you know, that's your warning. You better get yourself ready because there's going to be a fight coming.
Yeah. Well, and so amongst this fight, the lizard starts to awaken. So apparently what's kind of cool is like we all have like these subtle instincts in our minds. However, we're strong enough and powerful enough, like our monkey brains, quote unquote, are able to tame these sort of like lizard instincts that lizards have. And so during this fight, a lizard is so strong and powerful. He's able to just like,
it's like influence.
Yeah. Sort of like immensely
influence in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's able to like overwhelm them and like giving these subtle instincts to sort of just be chaotic and wreak havoc and have these terrible ideas to, and just go ham and go nuts and
basically
and go terrible,
everybody
be terrible
basically. And then it's just the world will become lizards.
Yeah. Just lizards. I mean, that's what it kind of gets to at some point. But this overwhelms Peter, and so he tries to fight it, but he just can't. It's just too much for him. So he decides to flee. And I kind of like how Peter's monologue while they're fighting is like, it's the normal monologue, like with the red border and the black font and the white background, and it's just like normal text and stuff. But slowly, that gets smaller, same as like Connor's did, and the lizard instinct in Peter starts getting bigger and bigger, and so then that caption box starts getting all rigid, and all the dialogue is red now.
Primitive thinking as well, isn't it? That it devolves to. So it's like no think, only look. Look claws, eyes prey. Like run. Like very basic. It's not, you know, the normal monologue that you would get from Peter.
Yeah, it's just one word straight to the point. Run.
Yeah. And then he does manage to get away. And I found this bit funny. I don't know why they put it in there, because I just found it funnier. Like, you've got this absolute menace that is the lizard. And then he just kind of, as he comes out onto the street, chasing after Peter, he's just like, I'm naked.
I think it's kind of subtly hinting at, like, because Lizard still technically has Connor's quote unquote monkey brain in him. So I wonder if he still has those basic instincts of a human too. I think that's what Wells is kind of showing a little bit.
Still got a bit of humanity in there.
Yeah. So the next scene we have Spider-Man goes back to Carly Cooper, and it seems like it, like so much has happened, but it's only like just, it's still morning. It's just the next morning. And so Spider-Man is at Felcourt and he arrives back at the lab, and Carly is tries to calm Spidey down because he's can't hand. It's hard. I mean, I wouldn't be able to handle anything like that. I mean,
no,
he just saw a child and Connor's child, Billy, just brutalized and stuff. And I like how Carly kind of handles this situation, because she's upset, but she kind of handles it in a very professional manner. I mean, she's determined to help Spider-Man stop the lizard. Yeah. And so,
otherwise it's just going to happen again, isn't it?
Yeah. And so Carly tells Spider-Man what Connors was working on, and it was sort of like a neutral stimulant to increase libido or whatever that's
libido,
called.
Yeah. Because he wants to get freaky.
Yeah, it's the sexual drive.
Another adult thing.
Yeah, so he was trying to correct an imbalance in his own brain, P equals brain. I don't know what any of that means. But he was, this is very science.
It's like
stuff.
There's a case full of this antidote, basically.
Yeah.
That he'd been working on, which is basically the lizard serum that he'd been using to suppress the lizard. Carly found a whole case of this serum. So Spidey just takes the whole case, basically. The picture of Billy that was in Kurt's lab. It's all smashed up and stuff, but the picture's still intact. And then we just get super serious. Can I have this picture of Billy? And then Carly's like, are you serious? And Spidey's just like, yes, no more jokes.
Damn.
You know, things are serious. No joke, Spidey is the most dangerous, scary Spidey.
Yeah, and his eyes are squinted, so he's mad. Yeah.
The next page, you just get some random civilians just kind of going about their everyday life, which we will come back to, because the lizard has seemingly killed another person just to take their clothes. So now he's not naked.
Now he just has the cloak thing again. And it just looks like his regular outfit.
Yeah, exactly. And then we see those regular everyday people that we were just talking about. His influence, his mind control is basically flipped them. So then everyone just starts attacking everyone. There's like absolutely mass hysteria, just basically rioting, looting, people punching kids, like just out of control, basically.
Yeah.
And that's how that issue ends, just that's kind of thing. With the lizard kind of like rubbing his hands together with glee, like, yeah, my plan is coming together. What shall we do tonight, brain? Try to take over the world.
So this leads into the very last issue, which is 633, which is the finale, the Shed finale. And it picks up right where we left off, where it's just chaos, whether it's overexpressive actions just being taken place. Like, for example, this TV reporter and her cameraman all of a sudden start getting freaky.
Yeah. Well, the camera guy whacks someone over the head with the camera, effectively killing him. And then the news reporter is just like, you are stronger. I am yours. And they just get freaky. And then you just see the bra, like, fly off.
And the lizard is proud of himself.
While the lizard is watching, he's, like, really enjoying this.
He's proud of what he's been doing. I mean, stuff like that's weird, but...
We get a great shot of the lizard just kind of stood on all of this, like, rubble, broken cars and all that, like, broken lampposts. Just stood on top of it, like, King Lizard, basically. And then with the word shed underneath on like, this sign.
On, like, the banner. I love stuff like that, dude. I'm such a sucker for shit like that. I love it.
Rather than just, like, a big banner that, like, takes over some of the page and some of the drawing, it's just, like, incorporated into it. Yeah. It looks really good.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for those, that title stuff. I don't know why. I love when stuff is incorporated like that because it looks so, I don't know.
It just looks like it was meant to be there.
Yeah, because if you put like the title page, like in the, because you could have easily put like the title of the comic and the writers and whatnot just in that bottom right corner, but I love it. But anyways, I digress. I could go over stuff like that all the time. But Peter is watching from a nearby roof when all this is going down, and he has a vial of Connor's cure in his hand, hoping, and he ends up actually taking some of it himself, kind of hoping it'll help him kind of be immune
stop
to the
influence. Yeah, kind of stop that influence taking over.
Yeah. And so Spidey drinks the green liquid and he swings over to battle the lizard. And the lizard is confused why his powers are not affecting Spidey at all. And I kind of like what Peter did here. This was actually kind of smart, where he chugs some of the green vial, and while Lizard is just roaring in anger, Spidey just spits the rest of it into his mouth. I mean, gross, but it works. It staggers him.
How else are you going to get it in?
True. I mean, it doesn't work like 100%, but at least it staggered him a bit. I mean, no one expects. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Don't let anyone guess your next move, right?
Because I guess as well, he doesn't know at this point whether, you know, how tough the lizard's scales are. Like, he might not even be able to get anything in, but it clearly does. It staggers him enough for Spidey to sort of jab him with like two more vials of this stuff, just pump it all inside him. And it at first, it just kind of like enrages the lizard even more than he already was.
Yeah.
It's just like, have two more. calm down, big guy. And then this is when the picture of Billy comes in. So
yeah, because nothing's working. Because no matter how much he spits in his mouth or stabs him with the vials, it's just not working. So he brings out he has a bag. I was about to say, where was he keeping that picture? He has a bag
spider satchel.
Yeah. It's like Link, where he has like a bunch of, like he has like the magic pouch where he can like have everything in there, like a bow, an arrow.
It's like Mary Poppins bag.
Yeah.
Bottomless bag. But yeah, he shows Lizard this picture of Billy. And it's like, you put pictures in my head. You put pictures in my head. It's probably just like, what are you talking about? But then basically from that rage, it's focused all the civilians that are kind of being mind controlled, sort of like overwhelmed, into swarming onto Spidey. And obviously he tries, you know, he doesn't want to throw punches because they don't have control.
Well, yeah, they're doing. It's people.
Yeah. But the lizard's now got hold of the picture of Billy and he just keeps staring at it. We see the civilians like ripping all the web shooters off and all the web canisters ripping at Peter's mask. Meanwhile, like interspersed with, the memories of Billy coming back to the lizard. And just as it's kind of looking hopeless for Spidey's getting absolutely overwhelmed by all these bodies that are just gnawing to get at him, clawing away at him. Eventually, it's actually the lizard that saves him. So he scoops him up. And they climb up the side of this building. It's like, I have pictures in my head. And then it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you wouldn't really want to go, I know, you told me. but then from there he goes, little one's blood, little one screams. Obviously referring to Billy as he killed him. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of like the lizard feeling guilt. Like, wow, I did. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's almost like now that the lizard is fully taking control, Connors is now, I don't know if it's like Connors, but like, it's just like someone that was born again, sort of relearning new emotions and trying to
reminded me a little bit of Superior Spider-Man, where obviously Dr. Octopus was in Peter's body.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just got Peter like chipping away every now and then, like Dr. Octopus is like, what is this feeling that I'm feeling?
Yeah,
Like, and
exactly.
then
Kind of
Peter's
like.
like, that's the great responsibility that you have. Like, it's kind of similar here, where it's kind of like, hey, you wanted it. You wanted all this power. You wanted this body. Well, now you've got it, and you've got to
Yeah.
deal with what comes with it.
I love those comparisons. That's really cool. I didn't even think of that. That's I love that. You're onto something.
It's like I've read a lot of comic books.
You've read a lot of Spider-Man comic books.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because then we even get the lizard. So he's like, was a good strong thing. Why the pictures make me feel weak, make me injured. Why the pictures hold back my claws? Why they tell me to hide my face? And then Spidey, like, he's absolutely bruised and battered, and he's just like, it's called shame. You killed a little boy. Get used to it. And then Lizard's like, you can just imagine the voice he said, is this what it is to be a mammal? And then Spidey's like, not all cracked. It's not all it's cracked up to be, is it? Lizard's just like, you mammals, you made all this, didn't you? All of this. Then looks up and there's a plane. He's like, that is not a bird.
I do kind of like
It's
that.
just, there's so many random parts. It's like when he was like, I am naked. It's like
Well, I
another one
think
of those, like,
because he's slowly kind of learning, because not learning, but like. Those instincts are still embedded in him. So it's kind of like the reverse thing to like where the lizard was slowly kind of like those
yeah, and he's
instincts were slowly coming out.
relearning, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, how those like the lizard instincts were slowly coming out and were like buried, but they were still subtly there. And now it's in the reverse way of how the human instincts, the monkey brain instincts are still there. While the lizard instincts are more prominent and stuff. So I love that little reversal that Wells did there. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah. And then basically from there, it's kind of the, he's coming to terms with it, and then he basically just leaves.
Yeah,
Spidey
he.
can't chase him. His web shoes are destroyed. His body's like kind of broken down. He's obviously had a bit of that lizard serum, and also just being absolutely clawed away at by the general public.
Yeah.
But it's even in his head, he's like, but they're alive. Well, he let them all go. He let me go. Why? And then he just sees the picture of Billy. And it's just really sad, really.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder, like, how, I don't know, can you imagine pitching that? Yeah, we're gonna have a Spider-Man comic where this kid gets killed by his dad. It's quite dark, isn't
It's
it?
extremely dark. But I like, I,
Yeah.
but it's a good, this is a good story though, I think, in my opinion. I don't know why.
It is, yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because like it does get a lot of hate, and I can understand why, but actually on paper it sounds ridiculous, but actually when you read it's a good story.
Because I think
It's like a
it serves the story very well instead of like doing the sort of like fridging you see in a lot of media, unfortunately.
yeah.
I mean, this you could say this is fridging that you're just like you all of a sudden bring in Billy and then you kill him and then to progress this villain's arc and stuff, but I don't see it that way because I think it's he doesn't just die out of nowhere. I think it's set up. Very, it's set up to very well, I think. I think they set up Billy's death pretty well. Granted, yes, it does happen within just two
Yeah, it's not
issues.
just like, say, like if it was Carly Cooper that got killed now. She's not been around too long, but Billy's been around, a long time. So it's not like he's just
Exactly.
a random character that's been put in there that you already know is going to die ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like Billy's been around for a long, long time. And it's just that's, we follow Spider-Man's adventures. That's just basically what's happening in this chapter of the lizard's life, and it's just that revolving door of characters that we get to see. So you don't always get to see the lizard, but that doesn't mean there isn't things going on. Like
Exactly.
we don't see Billy every week in foster care, but then that wouldn't be a very interesting issue unless there's a story to be told there.
Yeah.
And then it's just how that is with all of the villains, really. Like we enjoy seeing the villains. Like you get involved in them over time, and everyone's got their favorite villains. Lizard is one of mine.
Yeah, same here.
And an ongoing Lizard series probably wouldn't
Never.
sell very well, but when
No.
he's in a Spider-Man comic, I like seeing him there. So it's just one of those, really. But it is sad, and I can't really remember how, but Billy does come back at some point.
I can't
Wasn't it
remember
Clone
either.
Conspiracy?
That's what I was gonna say. I'm gonna guess it's Clone Conspiracy
Yeah.
because that's where a lot of like the older Spider-Man characters end up returning in some sort of way. Well, because I remember seeing him in maybe it's not Clone Conspiracy. Maybe it's earlier than that because there is another Spider-Man or a Lizard arc by Dan Slott before that, but I may be wrong. Because I remember seeing the Lizard, Billy, and Connor's wife all together in like a 2-issue story arc during Spencer's run, and they
Yes,
all
during
sort of ha
Hunted. Yeah.
and they all have like the lizard DNA of some sort,
Yes.
but I
Yeah.
don't remember how they come back though. I don't
I
remember
don't.
that,
I
but
feel
he
like I'm
does.
gonna do my research. Yeah, he definitely does come back though. And I
Yeah.
do feel it is, if it isn't Clone Conspiracy, I know a lot of other characters come back around there.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one we can visit at another time. But
Agreed.
sorry, people, I've let you down. We didn't do my homework, but
Hey, we said we were covering the gauntlet, not all Spider-Man as a whole.
yeah. Good save.
And so we have a nice little epilogue finished out with Emma Rios' art. And we are back at Aunt May's home. And Peter is just distraught. He is just an emotional wreck. And he's seeking Aunt May for help. And Aunt May does want to help, but the Auntie May stuff just keeps on coming back. It keeps
Yeah.
on, it's just like this bottled up anger. But every time, like when Peter has his back to her,
It kind
Aunt
of comes
May,
out, doesn't it? It's like, rah!
it comes out, but Aunt May is trying to fight through it and stuff. And
Yeah.
as Peter, yeah, so yeah, so as Peter's trying to vent to Aunt May, she is just struggling back and forth between this anger and to comfort him in some sort of way. And there could be argument that this Auntie May stuff is just kind of resolved like very quickly. I would argue that I like how Peter's sadness and May's love, like she has so much love for her nephew that she's able to break away from that negative energy that Mr. Negative gave her, and she's able
Yeah.
to overpower it and to and able to console Peter and deliver such a great emotional and heartwarming scene here. I like
Well,
it.
it's very
It's
similar to like how we've had through the whole arc, really. So we've had the Lizard, like Kurt Connors trying to, overpower the Lizard, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Where it's nice to see, the good may take over the evil may and actually be successful.
It's at,
So
yeah,
it's nice to see that. It's
it's a
not all
good,
doom and gloom.
no, it's kind of a nice contrast that love does win.
Yeah. Unless you're feeling hungry.
Oof, yeah.
In which case you will be eaten. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, it is it, and I actually like the way it's illustrated here as well, with the dark matter kind of taking over. It's illustrated really well. But then, like you say, love wins. And then our final page, we see I forgot what her name is, the lab assistant. I can't remember what she was
Marissa.
called. Marissa.
Marissa was
She's
the.
just walking. Yeah, she's seemingly walking down an alley, goes down into the sewers to be with the Lizard, seemingly.
Yeah, it looks
Is
like he
there.
is still influencing people, and he kind of lied a little bit.
He got the girl after all.
Good
That's
job,
basically
man.
what it all, but that's basically what this whole story started out as. He wanted her. She wanted Mr. King. Lizard got jealous. And then in the end, he got her anyway.
Yeah. And in the end, the lizard won.
But at what cost?
That's, yeah.
The life of his son.
Which is still sad, RIP. But he returns. It's comic book, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's dead forever.
No. But yeah, that's the end of the Shed arc. And that's where It we will eventually lead into the Grim Hunt, the very end of the
Our
gauntlet,
finale.
the finale,
Yeah.
which we will cover next episode.
We sure will. I'm looking forward to that.
Do you have any final thoughts, Reed? Lee Reed. I keep on calling you Reed. I always do that. I'm sorry.
Everybody does it.
Oh,
It's all
really?
fine.
Do people
Yeah,
call you
or just on the
Reed?
internet.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I
Well, people
think
always call me by my last name too, so I get
it's what it is. I think the only thing that I want to see more of from this was where Kane came from and where when are we going to see him again?
I don't think ever again.
I think he does show up at some point. I could be wrong though.
Oh, does he
But
really?
yeah, it's like we've said it before. Yeah, unless it is before this, maybe it's before this. He definitely gets an arc where he just randomly beats Peter up.
Well, I know that, like even before the something stopped the Juggernaut, it did show up that Connor was at Felcor Industries. Here, let's see. Felcor Industries, five appearances. That's it.
It did its job. But yeah, I really like this. I'm glad that we got a bit more of the Kravenoffs leading into Grim Hunt. Kind of see the
Yeah.
strings they're pulling.
It incorporated the Kravenoff stuff, I think, really well. Instead of
Yeah.
just one page of being like, okay, the lizard's with us now. They actually showed how they influenced the lizard stuff really well. I think Wells did a great job with that.
Yeah. And I think other than the obvious outcome, which is, Billy, RIP, we do still get a bit of, character progression with Peter and Carly Cooper. They've gone on I wouldn't call it a date. He bought her a McDonald's, basically.
Yeah. Well,
But he
because
stood in line for an
after,
hour for it.
yeah. Well, after, because after the gauntlet stuff, you have the one moment in time and then the actual final arc of the Brand New Day stuff called like Origin of Species or something like that. And
Yeah.
that's like once the Brand New Day stuff is done, that's when Carly and Peter end up like really getting together because they finally have that one kiss. And ironically enough, Carly, I think, is wearing a black cat outfit because it's Halloween. So they probably did that on purpose.
Love that. I've just had a flick through. I cheated a little bit. I've had a flick through the next pages, which is the Grim Hunt in this book, and Kane is in these issues, so we do see him again,
Yeah, Kane comes in,
which is great.
another Spider-Man character that I don't think has been seen in a while comes in. That's actually from the JMS stuff. So,
Interesting. It's been a long time. I think I've only ever read the Grim Hunt once,
I only read it
so it'll
once.
be. Yeah, it'll be fun to see what happens.
Yep, and it's
Because I literally can't remember any of it.
Joe Kelly writes it. Michael Lark, I believe he does the art for the entirety of the four issues, and I think James DeMatteis does some like backups for like some like expanding of the Kraven history and stuff, which has some Max
Nice.
Fiumara art who did the Rhino stuff. So it's gonna be good stuff.
Yeah, look forward to it.
So before we head out, Lee, where can listeners catch you on the socials?
You can find me on all of the socials on reads underscore reads. So it's RWDS underscore READS. But it's mainly just Instagram I use. I am on Twitter, but I don't use it too much. I just use it to like
X now.
read rather than post. X. It's still Twitter, isn't it, really? X sounds weird.
I haven't been on Twitter in years, and it's great. I haven't been on it.
They totally missed a trick not using the X-Men logo as well.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm
I
on
know it's
Instagram.
copyrighted, but
Anyways, I'm on Instagram at Masters of Comic Books, all lowercase, no spaces, and I do top five picks or top five comics that came out each week. I do reviews, pull lists, and Yeah, that's about it. It's all comic books.
All the good stuff in between.
Oh, absolutely. And please give Lee a follow. He has great content. A lot of it's Spider-Man, but he also does some other reviews. It's always great. Always great stuff. I remember when I started following you with my personal page before Master of Comic Books started up. So it's kind of crazy that we're doing this now.
Wow, yeah, it is. It's so weird. Like, it's so cool to kind of see, these people that I've talked to for years, like through Instagram and comics, and finally getting to do stuff like this is really fun. So, like, anytime that we get to talk comics, it's always a good time. But
Yeah, it's great because
thank you
I don't.
again for having me on, and thank you for being a friend. Yeah, it's
Yeah,
really one of the
you're
best things to
awesome.
come out of Instagram.
Oh, well, that
Yes, you are.
warms my heart. Thank you. I appreciate that. But anyways, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and be sure to check out next episode where we do Grim Hunt. Bye bye,
Yeah.
everyone.
See you later.